Welcome to day 156. Shavua Tov. We are up to Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis. Now, we said yesterday that there are different sorts of produce that are subject both to Kedushas Shvius, which means you have to treat it with all the halachos Shemitah, and subject to the mitzvah of Biur, which again means that when a type of produce is no longer found out in the field, you have to take whatever you have of that sort of produce, remove it from your house, and make it ownerless, make it hefker. And we said there are three categories of produce that are subject to both of those: food for people, food for animals, and plants that create dyes, and they cannot be mekayim ba'aretz, meaning that if you were to leave them in the ground, they would rot. If, as long as it's one of those three things, food for people, food for animals, or dye, and if you were to leave it in the ground, it would rot, then it's subject both to Shvius, Kedusha Shvius, and to the mitzvah of beer. Now, almost as a continuation of that, our Mishnah is going to talk about produce that it's subject to only one of those things. Va'od klal acher amru, says the Mishnah. They said another great principle, another general rule when it comes to Shemitah. Now, there is a girsa question here. There's a textual question. We're going to read it like many of the Mefarshim do. Actually, I think it's a little bit easier. Actually, not the way that it's printed in the Kahati. So says the Mishnah, kol shehu machal adam, anything that is food for people, umachal behema, or is food for animals, umin tovim, or is a plant for dye, but umiskayim ba'aretz, but it would last in the ground, it wouldn't rot if you left it attached to the ground, then yesh lo shvius ladam shvius, then it has kedusha shvius, and if you were to exchange or sell it, the money that you receive in return would also have a kedusha shvius, but ein lo bior v'ein lo dam of bior, it would not have the mitzvah of bior, and if you were to exchange it, the money would also not have the mitzvah of bior. And the reason it doesn't have bior is because if you can leave it in the ground and it wouldn't rot, that means that it never really, it never disappears from the field. It can always be found in the field, and therefore you'd never have to remove it from your house. Now, what are examples of that? Says the Mishnah, Ezehu, Ikar haluf hashote, the root of a wild loof. We saw yesterday about the leaves of a wild loof. This is the root. The Ikar nadana, and the root of mint, Vakrabanin, which is, the Bartanura says, grass that grows around a date palm. Vachalbitzin, we saw yesterday about a white, like a milky flower. So this is the root of that. Vabuchria, the Kahati says, is a type of grass. In all of those cases, they would last in the ground. They might be food for people, might be food for animals, but they do last in the ground. They wouldn't rot. What are examples of that? Of dyes? Again, two different types of dye that would last in the ground if they remained attached. So, says the Mishnah, because of that, yesh lehem shvius, lehem shvius, just repeating it now. So again, it has kedusha shvius, and the money that you would receive in exchange would also have kedusha shvius, but ein lehem bir, v'lo lehem bir. But because they last in the ground, they're not subject to the mitzvah of bir, and the money you receive in return would not be subject to beer. Now, Rabbi Meir disagrees with that last case. It says Rabbi Meir, Omer, Demeyan, Misabraman, Rosh Hashanah. No, even though the fruit itself, the produce itself, wouldn't be subject to beer, the money you receive in exchange, you would have to do beer before the end of the year, before Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year. Now, why should that be true? So basically, the Mefarshim seem to say that Rabbi Meir is concerned with the fact that if you say that there's no beer on that produce, that you receive from that produce, a person might forget to treat it with any Kedusha Shvius. That would be a problem because, as we just said, it still has Kedusha Shvius, right? Anything that you receive, any money that you receive in return for Kedusha, for Peru Shvius, of course is Kedusha Shvius. But once you say that it's not subject to beer, we're afraid that someone might then treat it very leniently and not treat it with proper Kedusha. But even though the Chachamim might understand that, they still say it's not logical. Why? Amru lo, lahen ein bihur. The problem is that the actual produce itself doesn't have bihur. Kal v'chomer l'meyen. All the more so, the money can't. It can't be that the money that you receive in exchange is more strict, has more halachos to it than the actual produce itself that you got the money in return for. So it just can't be. Even though they understand Rameyer's concern, it can't be. I'm going to leave an addendum, an extra voice note, that I think there's a corollary to the phenomenon that Rameyer is pointing out. We don't pass him like Rameyer, but I think he's really onto something. I'll leave that as a separate voice note. That is Mishnah Beis. Now Mishnah Gimel. Klipe Rimon, the peel of a pomegranate, the Hanet Shalom, and the blossom on the bottom. Klipe Egozim, and the peel of almonds, vagal inin, and these are pits that are edible pits of fruits. Yesh lem shvius, l'dveim shvius. Those are examples of things that do have shvius, and if you were to exchange it, the money is shvius. And there's a question as to whether it has biur or not, different ways to read it. The Kahati will go by the second way in the Kahati, which is that, and also, yes, it also has biur and dmehen biur, and the money would also have biur, meaning to say that these things are both the food for people, food for animals, and they would not last in the ground. Just examples. Okay, continues the Mishnah, hatsaba tsoveya la'atzmo. A dyer can actually use dye from plants of shvius to dye something for himself, but velo yitzba baschar, but you're not allowed to dye something for someone else and sell it, meaning as part of a business. Why? She'ein osin schor b'peiros shvi'is. Because we do not do any business with peiros shvi'is. It's funny because we've seen this halacha implied many times before, but as we've seen in the Mishnah many times, that it only says the halacha much later. We first hear implications of it, we have to assume it, and now it only says the principle right now. It's the first time it says that very explicitly, that you're not allowed to do business with it. By the way, as a really important point, it's specifically business. You are allowed to sell peiros shvi'is, because that's what we were talking about in the last Mishnah. How do you get money for it? You're allowed to sell or exchange it, but you're not allowed to do it for business. So what defines business? Usually you're doing it to make profit. If you're just exchanging it for its value, then that would be okay. When you're doing it for the purpose of profit, then you're not allowed to do that with peiros shvi'is. Once we mention that, we're going to see other cases in which you're not allowed to sell other sorts of things that have to do with halacha or mitzvahs and things like that. So, says the Mishnah, v'lo b'choros, a b'chor is a first born animal. So the halacha is that we give that to the kohen, and generally the kohen would then bring it as a karbon in the Beis HaMikdash. But if the animal has a blemish, has a mum, so then you still give it to the kohen, but the kohen can't bring it as a sacrifice. Instead, the kohen uses it for himself, will shechet it himself, eat it with his own family. So in that case, when the kohen has it, the Mishnah is telling us that he's still not allowed to do business with it. Continues the Mishnah. Another example of loba trumos, but truma also is the tithe that goes to the kohen. They're not allowed to do business with truma because, again, we're worried that it will end up in the wrong hands. If you do business with it, it's going to end up in the hands of someone who's tamei, of someone who's not allowed to eat truma, and that would be a problem. So we don't do business with truma. Vloba nevelos, vloba trefos, vloba shkatzim, vloba remasim. We'll explain what each one of those are, but in all four of those cases, those are things that have an isra achila. You're not allowed to eat it, and because there's an isra achila, there's also an isra schori. You're also not allowed to do business with them. So what are they? And a vela is something that either a non-kosher animal or a kosher animal that dies on its own accord, but you didn't do a proper shechita to it. You're not allowed to eat that. Vloba trefos, a trefa is an animal that has a certain type of a blemish again or illness that would prevent it from living too much longer. Certain types of trefos would make food not kosher. You're not allowed to eat those animals if you were to find out that it's a trefa afterwards, after you shechted and you find those blemishes. So again, that you're not allowed to eat that. Vloba shkatzim are generally considered, let's say, non-kosher fish or reptiles or non-kosher birds. Vloba remasim or insects, worms, things like that. All of those things you're not allowed to eat, and therefore you're not allowed to sell either. Do business with. And finally, vlo yelokeach yirakos sadeh amochar b'shuk. You're not allowed to pick vegetables during the seventh year in order to then sell them in the shuk. Again, you're allowed to sell during Shvi'is, you're just not allowed to do business with it. But because if you were to pick something from the ground and then bring it to the market, it seems like the reason you picked it was for the purpose of business, even though that's not true. And therefore, the Mishnah says, don't even pick it. You're not allowed to even pick it in that case because it looks like you're doing something problematic. Aval, but who located Beno Mocher al Yadu? But he's allowed to pick it and then give it to someone else. For example, Beno is just an example here, allowed to give it to his son, and his son then goes to sell in the market, because then if you're picking it and giving it to someone else, then it doesn't look like you're doing it. You're not selling it, so you're just giving it to someone else. Then it doesn't look like you're doing it for business, and that would be okay. It only looks like when you're doing business if you yourself pick it and then you take it to the market. And finally, lakach la'atzmo v'hosir. If you really just picked it for yourself to eat, which you're allowed to do during Shvi'is, you treat it with kedusha Shvi'is. You picked it for yourself. But there's some leftover. You ate some of it, v'hosir, but now there's leftover. Then mutar l'machron. At that point, you are allowed to sell the rest. Meaning that we don't worry that, you picked it and then you sold. We said before, you're not allowed to pick it and then sell it, because then that looks like you're doing business on Shemitah, during Shemitah, or with Shemitah produce. But here, because you picked it originally for the purpose of you eating it, and then just the leftovers you wanted to sell, so at that point, you're still allowed to sell it. We don't say that it defines the entire thing as something that's problematic because of business. So again, even though l'chatchila, you're not allowed to pick it and then sell it yourself, if you picked it for yourself and there's leftover, you're still allowed to sell it. That is Mishnah Gimel. We'll continue with Mishnah Dalet tomorrow.